and welcome to Nothing Ever Happens in Canada, but we know this is simply not true. This is a Canadian podcast about the myths, legends, and just good old stories Canada has to tell. I'm Canadian Girl. Thanks so much for joining me today on this lake monster adventure. But first, a little bit of that business stuff. Have you been to the Nothing Canada souvenir shop? Here you can find awesome Canadian Girl gear from your favorite adventures here on the channel. There's pillows, towels, blankets, journals, notebooks, t-shirts, the perfect summer hoodie, and so much more. Head over to the Nothing Canada souvenir shop today and grab your favorite Canadian Girl adventure gear. The link can always be found in the show notes below or at the top of nothingcanada.com. If you are loving this show, please let me know by leaving a review or a comment on the app you're listening to. And if you happen to use the CastBox app like I do to listen to all my favorite shows, please leave me a comment on there as I am actively on there most days and would love to hear from you. Just by you reaching out and letting me know what you like, or maybe even what you don't like about the show, helps me improve this show so I can make it the very best for all of you. Most importantly, leaving a review helps a little Canadian podcast like this one move around on the podcast charts so we can meet more awesome adventurers just like you to join our crew. Most recently, we were sitting at about 140 on the Apple Podcast charts under the History category, and we are also sitting at about 160 on the charts in India for History, which is pretty amazing. Hello to my Canadian adventurers in India, and thank you so much for joining us. I can't thank you all enough for those reviews. You certainly put a smile on this Canadian girl's face during these crazy times. If you are new to the channel or just coming back to check us out again, hello and welcome. Do make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of our adventures. Also, please share your favorite adventures on your social media channels so your friends and family can feel like they got out of the house and went on an adventure. Plus, they will listen to the show because you told them to. And that makes you my favorite crew members. Thank you to all of you who do share the episodes. The last way you can support the show is by donation. Donations allow you to be in control of what you want to donate and when you want to donate. Donations not only let me know you appreciate this show and want to hear more, they also allow me to maintain our website, the audio equipment, subscriptions, and so much more. Your donations are what help keep this little podcast going and improving. You can find the link to make a donation through PayPal in the links below, or at nothingcanada.com at the top of the page, you can find the donate button. We made it through all that business stuff, and before the sun even rises here today in Manitoba. Make sure you have a life jacket, sunscreen on, and anyone who brought their fishing poles, now's your chance. The fish are just waking up, and hopefully so are the legendary lake monsters said to be lurking in these waters. And if any of you brought your cryptozoology hats that we earned back when we went hunting for the Kempenfelt Kelly in Season 2, Episode 21, throw them on too. You're going to want them. Our story starts in 1903 when a young boy named Oscar Fredrickson was outside of his parents' house just off of Lake Winnipegosis. When suddenly his neighbor, who lives 1 mile or just over a kilometer and a half south, Ferdinand Stark, would come running up to the young Oscar, huffing and puffing and so out of breath, he managed to spit out that he was down by the lake shore when he saw a huge creature in the lake moving north along the shore. He claimed he had run over to Oscar's place so someone else could witness the creature too. Oscar quickly ran with his neighbor down to the area where Stark had last seen the creature heading north. By the time the pair arrived, the creature had vanished. Stark would go on to describe the creature to the young boy, stating that it was black or dark in color, had a very large head sticking out of the water, and a group of gulls would not leave it alone, swooping down and pecking at it continuously as it swam away. The young boy Oscar would grow up to write an extensive report on the creature. He searched for it for many years after that fateful day when he just happened to be outside and run into his neighbor. The next sighting of the lake monster would be in September 1909, when Valentine McKay, a Hudson Bay fur trader, would be standing on the shores of Cedar Lake, which is right beside Lake Winnipegosis, and was making a campfire when he suddenly heard what he thought was thundering coming over the lake. When he looked out on the lake, he saw a huge creature moving very swiftly on top of the water, about 400 meters or 1,312 feet out. It was the Winnipogo. That's right, here in Canada, we have a few lake monsters that share this pogo in their name. For instance, there is the Igopogo, which was later named Bessie, and then finally Kempenfelt Kelly, said to be lurking in Lake Simcoe in Ontario, that we went chasing earlier in the season. I'll leave a link to that episode so you can check it out if you have not already. And then there is the star of them all, the original OG, the one they all borrow their namesake from, the legendary Ogopogo, that hides in the Okanagan Lake in Kelowna, BC. There is also another Pogo Lake monster lurking around here in Manitoba, besides the Winnipogo, but we're not ready to meet her just yet. The young boy Oscar Fredrickson, now presumably a man, was hunting ducks in Fuller Bay on Lake Winnipegosis on April 1, 1918, almost 10 years after his first encounter with the monster of the lake. When something large pushed up a huge chunk of ice in the bay, Oscar described it as being lifted almost 3 feet out of the water. And to lift a heavy chunk of ice like that, the creature had to be very strong. Oscar described what he could see was about 2 feet of the creature and that it had a very small, flat head. In the 1930s, a vertebrae was found by Oscar Fredrickson just over 20 years later after his first encounter with the unknown beast. The bones were unfortunately lost in a fire, but Oscar did manage to make a model out of wood of the bones that were found. About 30 years later, when the wooden model of the bones was reviewed by Dr. James McLeod, a zoologist from the University of Manitoba, he believed it was nothing more than a prehistoric whale vertebrae. In 1934, Captain Sandy Vance, he had worked on tugboats his whole life and was familiar with the waters of Lake Winnipeg and Winnipegosis. He had worked on them under all conditions and had seen just about everything until today. Captain Sandy Vance would see the biggest creature he had ever seen in his entire life, just a little ways offshore. He claimed he had seen moose, bears, and other animals swimming in the lake before, but none of those creatures was what he saw today, and he was certain of it. Just 1 year later, in 1935, the Winnipogo would be spotted again, this time by C.F. Ross, a timber inspector in the area at the time, who was joined by his friend, Tom Pence. The pair claimed to have seen a creature that looked like it had a small, flat head of a dinosaur and had a single horn on its head. They saw this creature in the north end of Lake Winnipegosis. After this sighting, the Winnipogo became really, really shy, almost as if she knew she had been seen too many times. But her neighbor, the Manipogo, who's that, right? It's the newest lake monster roaming these inland Great Lakes. In 1948, 13 years after the last known sighting of the Winnipogo, C.P. Ulrich would claim to see a dinosaur-like creature raise its head 2 meters or 6 feet out of the water on top of a long, thin neck. He also stated its mouth was full of what looked like very sharp teeth, and the creature made a prehistoric-like dinosaur cry. In 1957, two fishermen out on Lake Manitoba made the claim to have seen a giant serpent monster. This is how they described it, and this is when the newspaper would give the lake monster her name, the Manipogo, a nod to Kelowna's Ogopogo I told you about earlier. And this would also lead to Winnipogo finally having a real name besides the lake monster in Lake Winnipeg or Winnipegosis. Around this time, with all the hype in the air about the new Manipogo lake monster, A group of journalists would organize a hunt for the Manipogo to prove it once and for all whether these lake monsters were real or not. But we'll let them go on and hunt for a bit while I tell you about how the indigenous people of the land felt about their neighbors in the waters. Just like the Winnipogo legends, legends from indigenous people have told stories about a giant snake living in Lake Manitoba. Their legends say that she slides beneath the water and prowls for victims to feed off of. When it comes to hunting this creature, it is believed only to be done in vain, as she has no worth to the indigenous people of the land. Legends also say that she only comes to the surface when she wishes to be seen, and when she does it violently and leaves no witnesses to tell a soul what happened. Remember those journalists that were out hunting for the Manipogo? They came across a cavern in the cliffside that was 3 meters tall, or almost 10 feet inside. It was full of bones, and I mean hundreds of bones, of fish, small mammals, and unknown larger ones. They also found sweeping tracks that appeared to be similar to a serpent's movements. On Sunday, July 24, 1960, the famous Manipogo of Lake Manitoba would make another appearance, this time in front of over 24 folks, while they were all along the shoreline that day. They all reported seeing basically the same thing, a massive serpent-like creature as it swam slowly by. Eyewitnesses describe humps appearing in and out of the water. That same year, a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Stoppel, saw a reptile-like beast surface about 30 feet from their boat. The summer of 1960, it was said that the shores of Lake Manitoba were lined with boats searching for the elusive Manipogo. Then on Wednesday, August 10th, that same year, Tom Locke, a land inspector, and 16 others would see 3 Manipogos swimming together near Toots Aid, a community on the shore of Lake Manitoba. Just 1 year later, in 1961, Tom Locke was so moved by the encounter with the creature he named the Manipogo Provincial Park, which is located on the west shore of Lake Manitoba. With so much excitement around the Manipogo and so many sightings, one right after the other, led Dr. James McLeod, who I mentioned earlier. He is the chairman for the Department of Zoology at the University of Manitoba. He would launch his own expedition to search for the elusive creatures of the lake. Though he did not find anything concrete, he did state he strongly believed something was lurking in the lakes and continued his research for many years after this on his own. In 1962, the first and only photo of the lake monsters was captured of the elusive Manipogo by Richard Vinson. He was with his friend at the time, John Kohnfeld, on a fishing trip. The pair were near the Meadows Portage Stretch, a piece of land between Lake Winnipegosis and Lake Manitoba. The pair followed the creature to get the famous picture, but the creature moved so quickly it kept getting out of reach of the camera and the 10-horsepower boat. The best photo he was able to get was from several miles away. Many experts over the years have studied the picture and are very curious is a good way to describe it. None have ever been able to disprove it as a hoax. They do claim it definitely shows a mysterious creature. Critics claim there is no wake in the picture and dismiss it as a log, especially if the creature was said to be swimming faster than the 10-horsepower boat. But I'll let you decide for yourself. You can see the photo at nothingcanada.com under the show notes section, or as always, the link will be in the show notes below. After the picture was snapped, it's almost as if the Manipogo knew it as she vanished for the next 27 years. Over the years, she seemed to be described as everything from 4 to 15 meters long or 13 feet to 49 feet. Muddy, dark brown, or even black in color, to have anything from a sheep, horse, camel, dinosaur, or snake-like head. At least one hump is always described moving slowly at each sighting in and out of the water. And some have described seeing a horn on the creature's head. And then there are shrieks or cries when the animal surfaces that tend to sound like dinosaur cries that have been heard as well. Most will pass off these sightings as a mother moose and a calf swimming. Also noting that moose are known to cry and grunt when they swim, explaining some of the weird noises associated with the sightings. There's also lake sturgeons, which are huge long fish that are very common in Manitoba. They actually never stop growing and can live more than 150 years if left alone, and can get up to over 300 pounds or 140 kilograms and be 2.5 meters or just over 8 feet long. I'd scream for sure and cry lake monster if I ever saw a fish like that and didn't know about them. To see these images for yourself, head over to nothingcanada.com and check out the show notes section. No matter what anyone says, some still believe there is a prehistoric type plesiosaurus lurking down in the Manitoba waters. Let's talk about these lakes while the Manipogo and the Winnipogo seem to be playing shy. Lake Manitoba is Canada's 13th biggest lake at 4,624 kilometers squared or 2,873 miles. It is the 33rd largest freshwater lake in the world. Lake Winnipeg is Canada's 6th biggest lake. It's 24,514 square kilometers or 9,465 miles. It is the world's 11th longest lake, but is very shallow. Between Lake Manitoba and Lake Winnipegosis and Lake Winnipeg, there is very large limestone deposits. In these deposits, you can find underground caverns or rivers connecting the lakes, making it possible, some suggest, for the Winnipogo and the Manipogo not only to have a place to stay during the long winter months on the Manitoba prairies, but also allowing them to swim back and forth between the lakes. So were the Manipogo and the Winnipogo really neighbors, or were they possibly the same creature swimming back and forth between the lakes? It's hard to say for sure, because sadly, a serpent-like animal that was 15 feet long or 4.5 meters was rammed by a boat in July 1983 on Lake Winnipegosis, just off of Pelican Rapids. Then just 1 year later, in 1984, on Lake Winnipeg in July, again, a creature that was dark in color was hit by a boat in Traverse Bay. After these two events, I could not find any more sightings of the Winnipogo or any other creature like this being seen on Lake Winnipeg or Lake Winnipegosis. Back over at Lake Manitoba in 1989, the Smith family from Minneapolis was on a camping trip at Shallow Point Campgrounds just off of Highway 6, when the whole family would witness the Manipogo, just 25 meters or about 80 feet offshore. Many humps of the strange creature swam across the surface of the water. The whole family saw this for several minutes and claimed the creature made no noise as it moved across the water. In 1997, the Manipogo would appear again and cause quite a disturbance at the Lundar Beach campground, causing an evacuation of the swimming waters when the large reptile slowly surfaced near some swimmers and then quickly disappeared. Officials were called in being such a public sighting, and they claimed it was just a floating log. Campers and park workers continued to search the area after, and no floating log was ever found. The sightings would continue into the 2000s when we all had cell phones and cameras at the ready. But just like her cousin Bigfoot, the Manipogo has managed to remain elusive and has just one picture from 58 years ago. A commercial fisherman, Keith Hayden, originally from Newfoundland in 2004, in the early morning began his normal routine of throwing out the fishing nets by the narrows. And then he would come back and grab the nets again in the afternoon. But this time when he returned to his nets, all were torn to shreds, like something a shark or a killer whale would do. He claimed that even the fish that were left in the nets were torn apart by massive bites. To this day, nets come up just absolutely shredded, and the running joke around the local fisherman community is that Manny Pogo did it. In 2009, several residents at Twin Lakes Beach saw several humps a few hundred yards from the shore in front of all the cottages. In 2011, there was major flooding in the cottage and home areas around Scotch Bay, Marshy Point, and Laurentia Beach. I hope I said that close to right. Security officers in the area would report seeing several humps surface offshore while they were patrolling the area. The creature would surface for several minutes at a time, they claimed, and then disappear back into the waters. They estimated it to be about 13 feet or 4 meters. Most believe the sightings became more frequent during this time, as the high flooding that year caused the Manny Pogo to come closer than it normally would have. Some fun facts about the town of St. Laurent. They hold an annual Manny Pogo Festival each March after the ice fishing season ends. There is also a Manny Pogo Golf and Country Club, and of course, the local hockey team is known as the Lake Monsters. Also, shout out to Andrew Hine and his book, Canadian Monsters and Mythical Creatures. It was extremely helpful in researching this adventure today. So what do you think? Were the Manny Pogo and the Winnie Pogo really neighbors? I'd like to think they were for the sake of fun myths and great tales. But to be honest, from doing my research, it appears to me that the Manny Pogo and the Winnie Pogo, if anything, were the same creature, as they were never seen really separately. The Winnie Pogo was very active in the early years, but then seemed to disappear for quite some time from Lake Winnipegosis and Lake Winnipeg for pretty much 50 years until those two creatures reappeared that were hit by boats. And I do not think they were the Winnie Pogo, but that's just my feelings. But while the Winnie Pogo did vanish, the Manny Pogo put on a show, making me believe that maybe after spending a long cold winter in the limestone caverns, it finally found its way to Lake Manitoba. And being that it was in a new lake and a new home, it was very excited and playing around, leading to a whole bunch of sightings and causing that picture to be taken. But then, almost as if the creature knew it had played around too much, it vanished again for a bit, only to resurface again in the early 2000s, still in Lake Manitoba a few times. It's been 9 years since the Manny Pogo, or Winnie Pogo, has been seen, and 58 years since she's had her picture taken. If you do visit Lake Manitoba, Lake Winnipeg, Lake Winnipegosis, and possibly even Cedar Lake, remember what I always tell you, you never really know what's lurking in the water. And do have your camera ready, we need another picture. I'm Canadian Girl. Thanks so much for joining me today on this cryptid adventure. Until next time, my friends.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.
You guys who always hang around to the end are the people that we all need around when a creature like the Manny Pogo or the Winnie Pogo shows up. I hope you all stay happy, healthy, and safe. I'm Canadian Girl.